This gets curiouser and curiouser every day. As we speak, the president has wrapped up an impromptu news conference. Let's see if we can we try to listen in a little bit?
If we declare a national emergency, we have a tremendous amount of funds. Tremendous. If we want to do that, if we want to go that route. Again, there is no reason why we can't come to a deal. But you have another side that doesn't care about border security. The Democrats, which I've been saying all along, they don't give a damn about crime. They don't care about crime. They don't care about gang members coming in and stabbing people and cutting people up. They don't care about crime. And if they're not going to care about crime, then I agree. They shouldn't do anything at the border. But I care about crime. And I care about drugs. We're spending a fortune on trying to stop drugs. And they pour in through the border. But I see it more now than ever before. The Democrats don't care about the border, and they don't care about crime.
Say it.
This
emergency on the border, this crisis, when did it begin?
Oh, it began a long time. Ask President Obama. Obama used to call it a crisis at the border, too. I think he said it in 2014. Look, you can all play cute. And I'd say 80% of you are possibly in coordination with the opposition party. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous. All you have to do is look at the borders, rent a helicopter, except you don't want to know the truth, and watch. And by the way, here's the story. There is another major caravan forming right now in Honduras. And so far, we're trying to break it up. But so far, it's bigger than anything we've seen. And a drone isn't going to stop it. And a sensor isn't going to stop it. But you know what's going to stop it in its tracks? A nice, powerful wall. The buck stops with everybody. They could solve this problem in literally 15 minutes. We could be back. We could have border security. They could stop this problem in 15 minutes if they wanted to. I really believe now that they don't want to. I really believe that. I really believe that they don't care about crime. I really believe this. The Democrats don't care about crime. They've been taken over by a group of young people who, frankly, in some cases, I've been watching, I actually think they're crazy. But they've been taken over by a group that's so far left, I really don't think they care about crime. And you know, sadly, they're viewing this as the beginning of the 2020 presidential race, and that's okay with me. But they have been taken over by a group of people that don't care about gangs, they don't care about human trafficking and drugs, they don't care about anything. I'll tell you what, they have gone crazy.
This is great stuff.
We have to get a win, or I'll have to go national security. One or the other. Either we're going to win. Either we're going to win or make a compromise. I'm okay to making a compromise. Compromise is in my vocabulary very strongly. So we're either going to have a win, make a compromise, because I think a compromise is a win for everybody, or I will declare a national. This is a thing that the lawyers tell me is 100%. You just have to read the language. Just read the language.
Special counsel's final report. Do you want that to be made public?
I will have to see. There's been no collusion whatsoever. We'll have to see.
So on that, Mr. President, did you know that Paul Manafort was sharing polling data from your campaign with the Russians?
No, I didn't know anything about it. Nothing about it.
Mr. President, do you have any reaction to the news of Jeff Bezos' divorce and his affairs?
Really?
Well, I wish him luck.
That's it?
I wish him luck. It's going to be a beauty.
All right.
Now he's stepping away from the microphones. Really?
It'll be a beauty.
They bring up Jeff Bezos and his divorce? with a president. This impromptu news conference has been going on for several minutes, and frankly, I was pretty confident it was going to wrap up right before the show started, but we were able to capture some of it. And by the way, if you're not aware of what's going on, the president is on his way to Texas. He is going to the wall. He's going to the border, the place where he hopes to put a wall. And this is part of the ongoing effort to make people aware of this particular issue, the importance of border security. Let me update you on what he has said, because these comments were made before this program started. Basically, what he said, if he cannot make a deal with the Democrats, he is going to declare a national emergency and he's going to take action. This goes to what I said to you the other day. I believe this is part one. Part one of the strategy was to communicate to the American people and say, hey, this is what I want to do. American people, will you support me? Will you call these morons, the Democrats, who are standing in the way of border security, and urge them to do what's right? That's what he's done. Step two is, if they're not negotiating in good faith, then I take the next step and declare a national emergency, find the money in the Defense Department budget, and get the job done. I think that's what he's setting up for. And I, in one sense, I say more power to him. Do I have constitutional concerns? Absolutely. But at the same time, I mean, I think this is absolutely hilarious. In fact, I'm going to share some audio after the break from yesterday. I wish I could tell you some more things. Let me just tell you this. When people are determined, by the way, the Air Force One is taking off right now to head to Texas, wheels up at this very moment for Texas. And we'll continue to follow this story as it develops throughout the day. You can't negotiate with yourself. And basically, what the Democrats have said, they're not going to give him a dime for the wall. Nothing. This is their position. They are digging in, and I think the president's right on this. This is a campaign issue. And in all fairness, this is a campaign issue for the president as well. He made a campaign promise that he was going to build the wall. The other part of it is that Mexico was going to pay for it. Now, he's giving some sort of convoluted explanation for how they are paying for it with this new trade. I think that's kind of flimsy. But I do think the wall has got to come through. This is a campaign promise. And he is determined he is not going to bomb out on this one. Coming up, we'll share some audio from yesterday and talk about what is ahead. Stay with us. So a few minutes ago, we shared with you the audio live, at least the live feed. A lot of times what happens, to give you some context on this, there are circumstances where the president has a conversation with reporters, and it's not live, it's recorded. And there's pool audio and video that's then fed back a few minutes later. That's how this was sent to news agencies. So we want to turn around some of this, hopefully in a few minutes, because there are some real, real classic lines that came out of the president. I'm not going to tell you what they are because I want you to hear them straight from his mouth. What he had to say about Chuck and Nancy. Oh, my goodness. They have to be furious. So when we're able to turn that around, we're going to share that with you. But it provides for some great entertainment for sure. Texter saying here, unfortunately, Trump is correct about the Dems and the border. Vincent, they're asking about Bezos and Russian collusion with everything going on with the border. Of course they are. Also, has Trump said anything about putting a timeline on giving the Dems a chance to negotiate or just declare an emergency and go that route? I don't know what that timeline is. Vince, do you disagree with Trump? The Democrat Party is being taken over by young people who are crazy. I got to say he's on the mark on that one. I wouldn't use the word crazy. I would use the word brainwashed. That's what's happened. And we've talked about this plenty of times before. we've got generations of children who've been brainwashed through the educational system, whether that's K-12 or whether it's the college education system. It's all propaganda. Propaganda. We're training and raising up progressive voters. So we should not be surprised. This is what they're looking for. They're looking for these programs to take care of them. This, combined with the disintegration of the family, people are looking for security. This is what this is all about. Do you understand that? And this is one of the other reasons I'm appealing to those of you who are conservative and those of you who are against liberalism. Now, I want to make this very clear. Those are not the same things. A lot of you are anti-liberalism, but you're not conservative. So I want to make that distinction. But my appeal to you as well is to understand the heart that motivates where these people are coming from. You can't simply argue ideology on this. You have to understand where these people are coming from. And these are very personal issues. And I say personal because for me, my security is in my Heavenly Father. If you undermine the value of our spiritual foundations, you're going to have people increasingly left with nowhere to go. They can't trust God. They don't know anything about Him. They can't trust their families because many of them are broken. So where else are you going to go? The government. The government becomes your provider, your protector, your all in all. Take any worship song, and I'm appealing to those of you especially who are Christians. Take any worship song you might sing on a Sunday morning. You may as well take every single one of those songs and insert federal government and politicians' names in there. Because that's what progressives are. They believe in the power of the state to make things right, not God. So, politicians, ironically, for these people who are, many of them, anti-religious, the government becomes their religion. And Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, and others like them have become their prophets. Make no mistake about this. This is deeply religious. Everyone is looking for security. And I would challenge you, even as you have conversations with liberals over social media or wherever, if you're arguing this and you think you're going to out-argue the ideas, give it up. Because in most cases, fundamentally, from the heart, you are dealing with orphans. Orphans looking for the state to be their mom and dad. Let's go out to a call from John in Lake Wylie. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Vince. First of all, your statements on liberalism are right on, and I congratulate you on your program. I wanted to just say Tuesday night, the facts that Trump spoke about, and they were fact-checked by the liberals, so they were accurate. What would local Democrats do if those crimes and drugs and everything that he talked about was happening between North and South Carolina? I'd like to hear some Democrats call in and say, oh, I wouldn't build a wall. I would let it happen. Or, you're right. Maybe we should build a wall. Thank you.
Yep. You're absolutely right, John. And if there were that kind of issue going on between states, do you not think at some point there would be somewhat of a border war that would erupt? There's no question about this. Interestingly enough, we had a discussion about this, about what the role and responsibilities are between state and local government as opposed to the federal government. That certainly plays a role here as well. Let's go out to York and Joe. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Oh, I'm so glad what you just said. I'm overwhelmed because what I was going to bring up, which is part of what you're talking about, I believe, is the New World Order is at the bottom of all of this. It started years ago with Bush Sr. He's the first one I heard say New World Order. what it is working towards the, people don't realize this, towards the power of Babel, which is also in the Bible. What we're going to do, and what the Democratic Party is totally enthralled with, is just what you said. The government controls everything, but it's not the United States government. It's the New World Order national government of the world. I am not a nationalist. I'm a patriot of the United States of America. You make America strong. What has America has that the world doesn't have? Our kind of constitution, our constitutional republic, our kind of strength. We've gone out and saved Europe at least twice. We saved, helped save China from the Japanese back in the 30s through independent action, not through direct action. I can't tell you how many countries we've helped. We've helped Germany rebuild. We helped Japan. Our enemies rebuild and become strong so they could take care of their own people. It's amazing that finally it's being disclosed. And what the New York Times has turned into is a rag. It was a rag in the late 1800s until a man named Adolf Ox took over the New York Times and changed it to what people considered the only paper fit to read. And now it's turned back into a rag.
And there's so many, there are so many means of propagating this propaganda, unfortunately, Joe. I do appreciate your call, and you're absolutely right about this New World Order. Here's what you have to understand. The goal is to basically set up world government. Now, at some point, I may talk more about this, because the goal of world government is not even just to control people. There's a deeper and more diabolical purpose, and I will share that. Stay with us. Just minutes away, we'll talk about a big development with the Carolina Panthers. You know, we raised questions about what is ahead for this team with the likely personnel changes in light of the season that's been, let's just say, disappointing, to say the least. We'll talk about that just a few minutes from now. I want to share with you one piece of audio. This is from yesterday. This is after there was a meeting between the president and leaders of Congress. Mike Pence was there, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi. And I want you to listen to this one-minute clip of the reactions afterwards. I mean, this is absolutely hysterical. Listen up.
Democratic leaders are unwilling to even negotiate. They demanded once again that before any negotiations could begin, that we would have to agree to reopen the government.
And I said, just why won't you do that? We'll continue to discuss. We're willing to discuss anything. And he said, if I open up the government, you won't do what I want.
If you don't understand financial insecurity, then you would have a policy that takes pride in saying, I'm going to keep government shut down for months or years. Unless you totally agree to my position.
He asked Speaker Pelosi that if he opened things up quickly, if he reopened the government quickly, would she be willing to agree to funding for a wall or a barrier on the southern border? And when she said no, the president said goodbye.
Isn't that great? What else are you going to do? What are you going to sit there and talk about? There's nothing to discuss because this woman has dug in her heels. So is Chuck Schumer. There's no negotiating taking place. They're saying it's my way. You know, I think it's interesting. There are people look at this and, well, the president's saying my way or the highway. Well, the Democrats are saying the same thing, aren't they? So there's got to be some give somewhere. You would think, well, no, I wouldn't think. Because I don't have any expectations that these folks are going to be reasonable. They are not reasonable. You know how this thing works. Scott, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Vince.
Yes, sir.
Have a quick point. I'll take about 15 seconds and try to get it all packed in and take it off the air. But these politicians, when they're running for office, that's one issue. They make promises. They say things. But once they're elected, they take an oath of office. And that's to defend and uphold the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And when they don't do that, they're not accountable. I don't quite understand. Immigration, legal immigration is good for our country. Illegal immigration is breaking the law. It's not good for our country. Now, that should be pretty easy to conclude, but I don't understand why when people try to compromise and break down institutions of law enforcement, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and they attack those things that they've taken a sworn, solemn oath to defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
They're lawless.
Why are they not held accountable for that?
They're lawless. And who's going to hold them accountable? The voters. So this goes back to the point we were making before, Scott, is that we have voters who have been trained by the educational system. They believe in these politicians rather than in the Constitution, because if they believed in the Constitution, they'd run these people out on a rail. They would not vote for the Chuck Schumers. There would not be a Democrat Party as it exists now. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say this. The reason you have a Democrat Party today is because you have nearly half of the people in this country who do not believe in the Constitution of the United States. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, just like Pavlov conditioned his dogs, a lot of the voters have been conditioned to mob think.
Exactly. That's where you are, Scott. I very much appreciate your call. And, man, I share your passion about this. It frustrates me. How else do you read this other than the responsibility? Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi have an equal responsibility to protect our borders. And honestly, I think what they're doing is treasonous. I really do. Is it not the responsibility of members of Congress to protect this country from invasion, from enemies foreign and domestic? Is that not their responsibility? But again, if you have nearly half of the people in this country who believe that's okay because they have some sort of emotional mumbo-jumbo psychological garbage in their minds, this idea that somehow everybody is entitled to be an American, you can't do anything with that. It's so sad. Jerry in Spartanburg, good morning.
Good morning, Vince. How are you doing today, sir?
All right.
Spoke with you. Great. I spoke with you a couple months ago, and I've been dying to give you a call back. I'm a young guy from Spartanburg here. I wanted to call on the border wall issue here. And the first thing I want to say is about the last caller. You know, he was saying that people need to be held accountable. And really quickly, I was flipping through yesterday on the news networks. And I'm 30 years old, like I said. And what I'm learning is a lot of people in America they learn by visuals. They need to see things. They need to see what's going on rather than being told what's going on. And obviously we know, especially people in my generation, they definitely don't read, so you're not going to get anything from that. But either way, I'm looking at CNN. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that. But I think that if we could begin to get some visuals, Vince, on what is actually going on mainstream, you know, 6 o'clock news, 7 o'clock news, things like that, get some true visuals, get some Facebook shares out there to really show what's going on at our border. I think that we might get rid of this manufactured crisis label because, you know, I just find it very hard to believe that anybody in America would be on the side of the Schumers and the Pelosi's and things like that to say that this is not an issue. And believe it or not, Vince, I'm a truck driver. I talk to as many people as I can. I don't always give my views because sometimes they're not welcome, but I do listen all the time. I listen. And you'd be surprised how many people really don't agree with what Trump's doing. They think that Trump's doing something wrong. They think that people should be allowed to come here and we should be, you know, just open to letting everyone come here freely and do as they want. And I just think that until we all come together as a whole, Vince, the voters, everything, all together, and say this is our country, this is what we need to do for our country, we need to go forward this way, we have no hope. I stand completely behind Donald Trump with what he's doing, but unfortunately this is a big world, this is a big country, and I think that unless we as Americans can come together on several issues, I think we're going to continue to kind of spin tires, I guess you could say. So I'll go ahead and hop off and listen, Vince. Hey, you have a great show, you have a great day.
I want you to hold on the line for one, Jerry, because I absolutely appreciate your call. You're right on point in what you've communicated. And what we've got to be able to do is to break through the monopoly the mainstream news media has on information. And we've got to figure out how to reach the hearts and minds of people who do not agree with us. And get to the foundations. That's what has to happen here. Jerry, hold on the line. I'd like to get some information from you. And this is some really good, important stuff. Coming up, we're going to talk about the Carolina Panthers. If you're holding on the line, wait. We will get to your call. Hold on. Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, I did tell you that coming up, we're going to talk about the Carolina Panthers and what is ahead. Those of you who are waiting on the line, be patient. We will get to you. But we want to talk about what is going on with the Carolina Panthers because, you know, there are a lot of us who have been concerned about this season and wondering what kind of changes are going to be necessary to turn things around. Well, we've gotten a sense of what may be happening, the beginning of that, with a video that was released by Thomas Davis. Let's listen to just a portion of what he had to say.
What's up, guys? I received information from the Carolina Panthers on Monday that they're going to go in a different direction with the linebacker position. It was extremely tough for me to deal with. That's why you guys are just hearing from me right now, because I wanted to be back. I wanted to be a part of a group that came and just right the wrongs that we had this season. You know, as one of the leaders of this team, I took full responsibility for some of the things that we allowed to happen, and, you know, the games that we lost consecutively. I wanted to come back and I wanted to help fix that. But unfortunately, you know, I'm not going to have that opportunity. So with that being said, I just wanted to thank the Carolina Panthers organization. I want to thank my teammates, man. You guys have been amazing. For 14 very special years that I will always remember, I'll always cherish. I want to thank you guys for those. To Panther Nation, I cannot thank you guys enough for the love and support that you've shown me and my family over the years. We can't thank you enough. As you can see, this is extremely tough for me. I've loved and cherished every moment that we've had in Carolina. Carolina's going to always be home for me and my family, but I'm not retiring. I feel like I have way too much football left in me to walk away from the game right now, so I want to keep playing. I'm going to keep playing. Hopefully someone's going to give me that opportunity. But Panther Nation, just know that in no way did I ever imagine putting on another uniform. Still to this day, don't want to do it, but I want to play football. So if that's the way that I'm going to be able to continue my career, then that's something that I have to do, and I hope you guys understand. It's not a decision that I wanted to make, but it's a decision that I had to make, and I'm looking forward to this season and getting back out and showing and prove that Thomas Davis still can do it. I still got a lot left, and it's just going to be exciting, man. As tough as it is to say that, I'm really looking forward to it, but TD signing out. Keep pounding, baby.
Wow. Chris McClain from Mac Attack WFNZ joining us on the phone here. What's going to your mind when you listen to that?
Oh, Vince, first of all, we're in an era where it feels like that connection between our star athletes and the fan base and the organization and the city, like, it feels like it's not like it used to be. You know, when guys would stay with teams for a long period of time and they would play with one team or most of their career with one team, and there'd really be that bond. It feels like now you got a lot of guys move around, they make business decisions. And I mean, that tugs at your heartstrings, because you feel that. You feel like, man, we mean something to Thomas Davis. He means something to us. He's done so much for the city on the field and off. And I think that's why a lot of fans are having a hard time with this, because emotionally it hits you when you hear him getting choked up about not being able to put on the Panther colors anymore. So it definitely hits you, and that's one of the great things about Thomas Davis, is he just makes you feel good, whether it's the three torn ACLs and the fact he's the only guy in NFL history to come back from that. By the way, he got better after the three torn ACLs, went to all his Pro Bowls after that, whether it's what he's done for the community, or whether it's just like him playing in the Super Bowl with a broken arm. I'll never forget that image, Vince, of his the big old scar on his arm. And it looked like the laces on a football. It was ridiculous looking. And that dude went out there because it was his dream to win a Super Bowl for this team. So, I mean, it hits you. There's no doubt about it.
Let's talk about the impact on the team. How big a deal is this?
As far as impact on the team, because impact on the fan base, in that locker room, too. I mean,
whoops. Unfortunately, I think
I've always called him the Ray Lewis of the Panthers. You know, the guy that gives the pep talk before the games to the team, gets them in a huddle. He's the inspirational leader. So the players are going to miss him. We're going to miss his leadership. I do think ultimately at this age, though, and where he's at in his career and some of the struggles I think you're starting to see from him in coverage, not as fast as he used to be, I do think the team is making a tough decision, but maybe a right decision. But that doesn't make it any easier on fans and fellow players over there. And I'm sure it was hard for Marty Herney, the GM of this team, to have that conversation with Thomas Davis.
I'm kind of curious. We have less than a minute left here. Did you expect anything else? Is this just the beginning of more changes?
Oh, you're definitely going to see change. You've already seen Lance Taylor, the wide receivers coach. He's been removed to his duties. They're interviewing secondary coaches right now. They're looking to add somebody in the secondary. Matter of fact, there's a report out today about Chuck Pagano, former defensive coordinator, head coach in this league, head coach of the Colts, and there's a conversation with him and the team going on. So there's definitely going to be staff changes, and I would expect this team to keep getting younger and quicker. I think that's part. I think Peppers, too, is a guy that you're probably going to see leave. Mike Adams in the secondary. So this is just the start, Vince. You lose 7 out of 8 games, you got to make changes.
No question about that. Chris McClain, joining us from WFNZ, Mac Attack. Thanks a lot for joining us on the broadcast this morning.
All right, Vince. Be good, man.
All right. Want to get your thoughts as well. Coming up the next hour, if you'd like to weigh in on this particular change, the departure of Thomas Davis, what else you're expecting for this team and whether you think that this thing can be turned around in the next season, or are we going to experience another lean year? Trying to be kind about the way I put this. Also coming up, we'll have more border wall discussion, including the perspective of one Ron Paul. That more in our next hour.